Check it out, kids. I got shows. And I want you to come and see me. So let me give you the details about where I'm going to be so you can get tickets and make plans. On September 17th, I'm doing a very special sold-out show at the Etihad Arena in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates. So you can't get tickets for that performance anymore. But I just wanted to let you know because it's kind of like a light little brag. I mean, I don't know how to tell you this, but I'm kind of a big deal. September 24th and 25th, I will be in Phoenix, Arizona, doing shows at Stand Up Live. Just two nights. So more shows are always being added, so please keep checking RussellPeters.com for updates. This week, we've got part two of my conversation with the master of voices, Eric Bauza. And unlike myself, Eric is one of Canada's finest. Me, who knows what I am of Canada, but I love it. The second part of our talk is even better than the first. Plus, Kangol Kid from the legendary group UTFO joins us this time, too. He just happened to be in the house, and I pulled him into the thing. So this is good stuff, people. Get into it and enjoy.
I think Noel Blanc had a try at doing bugs. And then
who?
His son, Noel Blanc.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
There's Billy. But yeah, and then me. So hopefully I can continue that.
Wait, who's that one on the top right?
Top right is Doug.
Doug from?
I think he had a Nickelodeon show, and then it moved to Disney. And it was, you know, basically kind of like that voice that he does, you know, for Fry. It was kind of similar to that.
And there's a guy named Reno. Do you know Reno?
Reno Romero?
Yeah, the Italian guy from Toronto.
Yeah, I've met him.
He does Batman.
Before. Yes, yeah,
Dark Knight,
yeah.
I think it is, or the cartoon.
I think it was the Batman at the time.
The Batman. He was the Batman.
But yeah, like another Canadian kid. What do you think it is about Canadian people and impressions? Because we have SCTV as kind of like a...
Well, because we would watch all the American TV growing up, right?
Right.
And it always seems so like such a foreign, distant land to us, you know?
Right.
But because when you watch Canadian television growing up, you're like, our TV sucks. I remember somebody did a joke back in the day, like in the 90s, when... remember when you could buy an illegal satellite dish in Toronto?
Yeah.
And you would go to like some guy, he would have like an automotive shop, and in the back he would program the cards.
That's how
I would get it done. I would go to this Italian guy. I'm sure he was mobbed up. He seemed so mobbed up. And I would go to him, he'd be like, "Who sent you?" I'm like, "What do you mean?"
You would have to have the name, the right connection, yeah.
And he would look at you like, I don't know. Like, because he thought he was going to get busted, right?
Right.
And then I'm like, no, here's the money. I just want my fucking card programmed. I'm getting scrambled again. And you'd give him like the 50 or 100 bucks.
Yep.
To unscramble the card. You'd put it back in when you got home. And then there was like a big problem. Remember, it was like they were trying to crack down on illegal satellite dishes.
What was it called? It was like a Maple Leaf. Of course, everything's a Maple Leaf. It was like Viewer's Choice or...
There was that. Viewer's Choice was one of them.
But what was the... there was like an earlier one. It wasn't like...
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and that was the era. That was like when you were trying to watch scrambled adult films. And
oh, yeah, I would jerk off. I wasn't sure if it was a hubcap, an ankle, or a nipple.
It's probably an elbow.
Yeah, look at the elbows on that chick. And then it would unscramble for like a second. And it would... But somebody did a joke, said if you want people to stop... getting the illegal satellite dish, start programming Canadian TV on it. We won't watch it for shit. Do you remember a TV show called The Trouble with Tracy? It was probably before you were born.
Was it before or after The Littlest Hobo?
It was like 76, 77, 78.
Can you believe these are names of shows?
Are you doing a Hammy Hamster one?
No, I don't. I'm not familiar, but I know the name. But
Hammy
I don't
Hamster?
Know.
Got to do a Hammy Hamster. Got to do. We did Littlest. You did Littlest Hobo, don't you?
We did not. Again, but that's still under a CBC, and I feel like Beachcombers would be like a top. I don't know if people would wear a Littlest Hobo one. I would do it. So
can
Littlest
you do
Hobo
Beaver
was,
Lumber?
Yes, we did Beaver Lumber.
You did do Beaver Lumber?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Why are there so many things I don't have?
I mean...
baby's leaving.
My daughter's leaving? Hold on. Let me say bye to my daughter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For sure. No. If you're just joining us on the... Culturally, I'm the new host of the Russell Peters Show. It's going to be called With Russell Peters with Eric Bauza, or As Eric Bauza with Russell Peters. You know, I've been sitting here with him like the last 5 minutes, and he's got this very, you know, jerk off. You can talk about jerking off. You know, he's got that like clean, crisp voice. His timing, the speed at which he delivers jokes is so fast and similar it reminds me of Rodney Dangerfield. If there's anybody that I like think of when I watch Russell, it's Rodney Dangerfield. Like, if you've watched like any clip of Rodney on Carson, count how many jokes he does in 2 minutes, and it's like a million jokes, and that's still with time for the audience to laugh, and you know that could make or break your time on The Tonight Show. I was just comparing you to Rodney Dangerfield.
How dare you?
Well, thank you. You know, I mean, he's a legend. You know, I'm okay now, but last week I was in rough shape. But
I loved Rodney. Oh my God, he's so funny.
But I'm
my
just
dog,
saying,
Vinny Bumbats.
Yeah, proctologist stuck his thumb in my mouth. but yeah, like the amount of jokes that you guys can crank out in a mere few minutes is astounding. And again, that's with like audience laughter included, and you still have to account for that when you're on stage.
Sorry, one more thing.
Oh shoot. So we're again going back to
Remember Kango Kid from UTFO? Remember Roxanne?
Yeah.
Oh, he's right here. Hang on.
Okay. Who else? Who else has been in this living room?
You never know.
The door is wide open. I feel like anyone could just walk right out.
Pretty much.
Well, there he is. Holy shoot. The legend himself who made the Kango. Excuse me, sir. You were just on the screen. If you want to hop in the pilot's chair, you're more than welcome.
Fill in.
How have you been,
sir? I don't need
this,
right? I don't need that.
Yeah, no, you're good. You're good. Right. Yeah.
What's going on, y'all?
Not much.
Hi, girl.
Yeah, the Kangol Peters show.
Yes, I am he.
Where are you coming from right now?
I am coming from Venice Beach.
Very nice.
Let's see. I did an interview early. I was on Big Boy's radio show.
Oh, nice.
Not his radio show. We filmed it.
Okay.
So he has a new show coming out called Flowers.
Okay. Is it on a, like, is it a podcast form or is it like?
I'm not sure what he's doing exactly. Because
I mean, he's
well connected.
I was gonna say, how do you get up at 5 in the morning and do a morning show and then still have the energy to talk in the evening? And
didn't they film it this afternoon?
Yeah, we did it this afternoon. I believe it's gonna be launched sometime in September, I believe. But he's getting all the guests together, doing their thing, and it was a great interview, man.
Legend to legend, I'm sure.
Yes.
I will be tuning in to
fan
that
to fan is what that was also, right. Man. It's crazy when you see two celebrities meet each other for the first time.
Right.
That's the epitome of fanhood.
See,
fandom.
This is still a fan celebrity moment for me. I don't know.
Gotcha.
I mean,
that's Kango from UTFO.
I am he. I am he.
That's how this podcast goes, guys. We don't know.
Yeah, you don't know who's coming in.
It is what it is.
We don't need invitations here. We just pop up.
That's good, man.
I'm gonna grab a different mic. You good?
Yes, I was here a few months ago smoking a cigar.
Now, this is the place apparently to be smoking a cigar.
And that's not what I do, but when in Rome.
When
in Rome, yeah. I was in here with...
Okay?
Huh?
You want a cigar?
Oh, let's make that happen, yes. Yeah. Let's see if I still know how to do this thing.
Flavored ones, I got them.
I accept.
Flavored ones.
I got one of those Javas on the top shelf on the right, the light skin box.
What is the flavor?
Latte.
Would you like one?
Maybe I'll have
Grab
one.
Grab two of those,
you know,
Paulie. Bring them over here.
I might as well. This is a once in a lifetime opportunity. So
you do cigars? You don't? Okay.
Then it's gonna make me sound less of a boy and more of a man, and that's good for voiceover.
I sometimes think I'm a rabbit duck.
Ah, yes. I was bored. Yeah, I was told.
You got the Kangol Kid and Bugs Bunny. You got a ting with animals, I guess.
All right.
Very
so how
nice.
Do we do this again?
Pull your tips off, Ayo.
Yeah.
Just rip off your tip.
Padoom poop.
Put it in your mouth, Ayo.
Okay, so hold on. What do I do?
Put it in your mouth.
Oh.
Just do not inhale it.
So for the ones only listening, we are smoking cigars.
Yes.
If you don't inhale, Eric, you will be very unhappy with yourself if you inhale.
So this will be the new favorite go-to. How did you discover these, Russell?
So a buddy of mine, Rocky Patel, he's a big cigar maker, and he makes obviously the Rocky Patel brand, but he also has another one called Java.
Yeah.
And these are the Javas.
Damn, dude.
And the Javas are flavored. They have the latte, which you're smoking, and they have a chocolate.
Yep.
And then they have a chocolate cherry.
Okay.
and a mint.
And this
These
is
aren't
the latte.
Bad though, right?
No, it's good.
So yeah, we would go to Eaton Center. There was like this little like place right by the Eaton Center where you could get cigars back in high school, and that's where me and Steve would go to get our cheap like cheap ass cigars, like the Phillies Blunt and the Swisher, Swisher Sweets and all that stuff.
Yeah, those are not really cigars per se. Yeah, those are not really meant for smoking. I think they're more meant for
rolling.
Yeah, rolling.
but we used them as cigars.
Remember Colts? They were like the cherry grape flavored ones. They were actually, they had like the little tip on them, plastic tip.
The plastic tip. Used to pretend to be the penguin when you smoke those things.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
But he was just talking to Big Boy, Big Boy's neighborhood.
Big Boy. Big Boy's getting his star on the Walk of Fame on September
10th. Yeah, man. I want to come to that, man. I was just talking to him about that.
I told him I wasn't going to be able to be there for it because I was supposed to be somewhere else, and now I'm going to be here.
Nice.
So I called him, and I was like, yo, I can do it. He's like, man, Russell, you are a man of your word. And
see,
I am.
You have range, Russell. I think if we can, if you're comfortable, we should work on a new voice demo for you and just
show me
see
how. You probably
much
have everything
range
in your house, right?
Mm-hmm. I got a nice booth, separate booth from the house, and the whisper room, and I just invested in a really like sick microphone, like $5,000 mic, the U8 Neumann.
Is it
Well, I mean, I can't
no,
even imagine.
I'm not mad. No.
You gotta put your
money where your mouth is, bro.
I was
literally
say,
ba-dum-pum.
Yeah. I can't imagine
that's
the,
where his money is.
I can't imagine the microphones you must have performed behind.
Hello.
As far as you know,
we don't know
career
how he got the record deal, but
no comment. My man Russ.
But yeah, I was just at a session where we were talking about ribbon mics and like
that. The ribbon mics.
Ribbon mics are the old school microphones, like RCA days where it was just straight to tape, no digital.
Oh yeah,
all, right. All like powered by the preamps, like the size of like a car battery, you know, like
these huge.
Now everything's small and compact and doesn't take much, but ribbon mics, that's what Mel Blanc used to record Looney Tunes on.
There's really no room for error on those.
Well, I know, right? Like,
because you have cut the tape.
The tape was exactly, that's how he got the job of Porky, because the original guy who had a stutter for Porky Pig. Nice to meet you, Kango Kid. But the original guy was a real stutterer. And they would lose so much tape trying to get a take. So they hired Mel, who could imitate the stutter.
He could mock the stutter in a useful way.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I told the story. I'm not sure I told the story on here, but there was one time my best friend back home, Stacko, he was renting a basement. There was Indian people living upstairs. And he goes, I was going to Yuck Yucks or something. He goes, hey, guy, can we bring Raj from upstairs? He wants to come with us to your show. I'm like, yeah, sure. We get in the right before Stacko gets in the car and he's sitting beside me. No. Yeah, he's sitting beside me because he let this guy sit in the front seat and Stacko's sitting behind passenger seat. And right before the guy Raj gets in the car, goes, hey, he stutters, so don't laugh at him.
Oh,
and I
man.
Go, what kind of an asshole do you think I am? I'm just going to fucking laugh at a guy with a stutter. But he didn't tell me what the stutter was. So we're driving down the 427 and, I go, so Rod, you going to going to college next? He's like, Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'm gonna go. Wow. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm trying not to laugh, but I'm shaking and I'm crying. And I'm looking at Stacko in the back in the mirror, and he's like, don't fucking laugh. And I go, you never told me a stutter was like this.
There's got to be another word for that, man. Yeah. It's not stuttering.
But then as he drank, he stopped stuttering.
Ah.
Yo, you know who did that? Aaron Hall.
Yes, that's
from
Smooth B told us that.
Yeah, man, that was him. He would stutter like crazy as well when you're conversing with him.
But he was in control.
What? You get on a mic? He get in front of the camera? He's a different dude.
Yeah.
But just a simple conversation.
Yeah.
He would get in that mode.
Apparently James Earl Jones.
Oh, really?
The voice of Darth Vader.
What? A stutter?
Apparently had a stutter.
Wow.
Luke. I am your
I'm your dad.
Right. That's Porky, man. He saying the complicated stuff.
Is there a pattern to when he stutters, or is it just as your choice?
It just all depends, I think. I think it just depends. It could be anywhere. But it's usually the whole bit is like, oh, I see you got a nice automobile. Like, it's like he can't say the simple thing, but he could say the complicated thing.
Yes. We used to do that with rapping on the way home from school. We would make rhymes that didn't rhyme. So it'd be like, I was so thirsty, I couldn't think. I opened up the fridge to get me a beverage.
Yeah. But it still sounds good, though, man. I feel like that's how they rap today.
We would do that all day on the way home from school.
Yeah.
It'd be like, I was so hungry, I said, dude, is there anything in your house that we could, is there anything that we could have except for sustenance, you know, something, just whatever. We'd just be like, right. Whatever the other word for the rhyming word was, we would do
that.
Yeah. But that's jokes, man.
You know, like, interesting fact about Kangol, my very first podcast that I ever did, he was my guest.
The first podcast?
The first podcast. First podcast.
Then
first
how did you guys...
First podcast?
Fuck me, I'm, podcast. Oh my God, I'm getting the ghost of Raj. Yeah.
First podcast.
It was me, Kangol Kid, Smooth B from Nice and Smooth, and Lord Finesse, who lives with me.
Really?
He's in there right now.
What? Holy shit.
Yeah,
man.
I live my hip-hop dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, happy birthday, Kang. His birthday was a week ago.
Thank you.
Really?
Thank you. Thank
about
you.
A week
still
ago.
Still your birthday week, man.
Still my birthday month. Yeah. Celebrate birthday all month long. 55, bro.
What?
I hit the double nickel.
Two nickels.
Dude. Yep.
Still looks like he's 20.
I accept. I accept.
Yeah. I'm 83.
Oh, wow.
Filipino jeans. It's all
that. You look great for your age, bro.
It's all that lumpia grease.
You look great for your age, bro.
Lumpia grease keeps you oily. Oh, my wife makes amazing lumpias.
Really?
From hand.
She hand rolls?
She rolls them like a joint, which is a little weird, but, you know, I guess old habits.
She had the tracksuit on. She's hip-hop. That's dope, though, man. Holy smokes. Congrats on 55. 55 years. So wait, how did you guys meet then?
I was obviously a fan of his growing up. I mean, ninth grade for me, grade mm-hmm. nine, as you and I would call
grade
it.
Grade nine. Canadian style.
84. That was the biggest record around.
Mm-hmm.
You had to have two records in your crate. Roxanne was one of them.
Yeah.
And Egyptian Lover was the other one. Oh, and Jermaine Stewart, The Word Is Out.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And Beatbox. So those four records you had to have.
Mm-hmm.
You had to have those if you were considering yourself a hip-hop guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I never knew we'd become friends or I'd ever meet him or anything. You know, and then we met maybe about 7 years ago.
Yeah, we met at, it was Melly Mel's birthday party.
Oh, I roasted him.
Yes.
I roasted Melly Mel for his birthday.
Yeah.
And that was at the Latin Quarter, the other Latin Quarter.
Right.
On Lexington.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Underneath the Radisson Hotel.
On Lexington.
Yeah. And nobody showed up, remember?
Right. No. Yeah.
Nobody showed up.
Yeah, no COVID.
How could that be?
And the sound system was all fucked up. The turntables are messed up.
Everything. You name it, it went down.
I had invited everybody. I was like, anybody should just come because nobody's here.
I would have been there in a heartbeat.
Yeah, it was fun, though.
No, it was. We made fun of it. We enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Had a boxer friend of mine there. Glenn, he was there, and
right.
I made fun of him. I said, my buddy Glenn Tappy is here. Glenn, lay down so they can recognize you. my favorite thing to do to fighters. Every fighter I know, I tell them, hey, you don't know this guy? Lay down so they recognize you. He used to sell advertising on the bottom of his shoes, you know, that kind of stuff.
God. And the boxers, of course, would get it 8 seconds later, you know.
Well, they'd have to get a 10 count before they got it. Hey, remember you can't do that on television? Ooh, why don't you do those?
Oh, God. That was, you know, we're talking about Canadian nostalgia, how odd the programming was in Canada.
I heard that.
Yeah, Barf Burgers.
Barf Burgers.
Yeah.
And Alanis Morissette was on that.
But that leaked through Nickelodeon. Nickelodeon ended up showing like a
Did
lot
they?
Of that. That's why like Nickelodeon had the whole slime theme.
Yes, every I figured because I was like, that's ours.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So you got the whole Canadian thing going on.
We had the Canuck connection. We're both
the connection.
Gotcha. I'm Canadian. Filipino
As am
Canadian.
I.
Exactly. Yeah, we're from the same native Toronto, Toronto, Ontario.
He's east side, I'm west side.
Yeah.
And you guys get along?
We're
Padoom-poo.
We never had that.
Now we are. Yeah.
The DVP separated us.
Yeah. That was back in the day. Have you ever been to Toronto?
Yes.
Many times?
We've done shows there in the past.
You were on Fresh Fest came there, right?
Not with Fresh Fest, no.
Did you go on Fresh? You were on Fresh Fest.
I was on the first Fresh Fest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was dancing for Houdini.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, so I was on the absolute first one ever.
And Cool Rock Ski hit me up about doing a Fresh Fest documentary.
Oh, nice.
So I guess we'll talk to you about that, too.
Sure, sure.
We haven't started it yet, but we're just talking about it right now.
Sick.
I'm very involved in the nerdy hip-hop scene.
Well, you're an aficionado, man. You got the turntables to prove it.
I got the turntables to prove it.
Yeah, man. If you have turntables in your living room, that's kind of a...
Well, you're Filipino. You should have been a good DJ.
I was like, of all my friends, I was like the reverse. I was like, you know, I never picked up the ones and twos. I never.
How about breakdancing, though?
With this body?
I mean... You didn't always have this body.
I would break.
You earned that body. It's all that Looney Tunes money.
I'm telling you, that was my focus, was planting my ass on the couch and watching cartoons, and that was it. You know, that was my contribution to the gang. Like my homies back home is just doing impersonations of, like, you know.
You know what's funny is you guys did a raccoons.
Yeah, that was like it was on CBC. And it was like
our, in the 90s
our like environmental kind of conscious, you know, Canadians are always very pro green, and we're always thinking about the environment. They made an animated series about a family of wilderness creatures, and
all of our cartoons had to do with wilderness or like children's programming.
Yeah,
we had Littlest Hobo, which was a
Littlest who?
The Littlest Hobo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a hard.
Like, what the hell?
It's a
not,
children,
not,
what?
Not un petit like, massy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
If you're a football fan who jumped at the chance to listen to my episode with Vernon Davis, now is the time to celebrate. The NFL is finally back, and DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, has millions of reasons why you should be excited. To kick off the football season, DraftKings is giving new customers a free shot at a $1 million top prize with a total of $4 million up for grabs for tonight's opener, Thursday that is. Getting in on Thursday night's single game showdown is easy. Draft 6 players from the season opener, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. So head to the app now. Feel the NFL action like never before with a free shot at a $1 million payday. Download the DraftKings app now and use code PETERS. This week, new customers can get a free shot at the $1 million top prize and $4 million in prizes in total. Enter code PETERS to get a free shot at the $1 million top prize with your first deposit. That's code PETERS only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Hobo with a hard B in the middle. Hobo. Yeah.
Okay.
But it was
a German Shepherd, right?
It was a German Shepherd. It was like our Lassie.
Yeah.
So it was like Canadian Lassie.
And then we had a show called Hammy Hamster.
I'm going to look that
Very
one
creative.
Up. I'll Hammy, make one just for you if you want.
Hammy Hamster was a show with these hamsters, and they would always put them underwater. And like, how many hamsters got killed during this production?
This wasn't an animated thing. This is
no,
real
this was
hamsters.
Real. They're real hamsters.
That and they like, were drowning.
And then Hammy jumped in to save them. And then you're like,
and you know there was no one on staff protecting those animals.
Yeah, there was definitely no PETA. There was no PETA then.
Yeah. They would probably be eaten right afterwards. Canadian hillbillies. But yeah, now I remember what you're talking about.
It was very low budget.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But Davy
sure.
and Goliath, was that Canadian or American?
I think that was American. But Davy. That was huge.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up on that.
Davey. That, and I never realized it was like all this Christian religious shit happening in the background.
I didn't put that together either.
But then you think about, Davey, have you thought about Jesus today? And I'm like, that why was the like fuck would line? I think about Jesus? Yeah.
That was like a line from the show.
Yeah. Davey, have you thought about Jesus today? And I'm like, no, but can you just get back to the fucking story? I don't want to hear about this. That was the, what was that, stop animation that was called?
Stop motion animation?
Stop motion, yeah. We did that on my Christmas special. Do you ever see that?
Yes.
We did a lot of stop animation stuff on that just to throw it back to that.
That's sick. Way before Robot Chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Look up behind you.
That's Seth Green, huh?
Yeah, Seth. He's got that down to a science.
Davey. Yeah, because it was the dog that would talk.
Mm-hmm.
And the dog sounded dopey as hell. Davey, have you finished rolling that blunt today? Yeah. wants one.
He looks like he's made of blunt paper.
Dark. Yeah. If I could be quite blunt with you about this.
Yeah.
And then there was that awkward silence. Where we all just stared off at the TV.
Well, you know, I mean, it's the religious cartoon is doing its job. I mean, it's a total ripoff of Scooby-Doo, now that you look at it. I mean, the same color scheme and the same collar.
The Lost episodes.
Oh, my God.
That's hilarious.
What we need to do is...
screenshot all of them, Eddie.
We just need to get the footage and then dub over, like, the the voices.
We make it all fucked up now, you know?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Davey, have you dropped acid today?
Yeah.
No, Goliath, why? Because I'm a dog talking to you. Yeah. There's so much Canadiana we were going over, like, stuff that I remember. There was these cheap stores growing up. They did one called... There was a store called Byway.
Yeah.
And they gave me these t-shirts that say Byway. They're fucking bomb. And then they Bargain Heralds was the other one. Yeah. I was really
happy.
Did you get
that one?
I did.
Okay.
I love my Bargain Heralds one.
So these are all like defunct stores like that my company in Toronto, RetroKid, is like, we were trying to figure out what we could do that would make us stand out. So, because everyone's selling shirts. Everyone has merch. Everyone's doing the thing. You know, we weren't lucky to embrace the Kangol first like you did. You claim that.
I kind of did. Yes. Took it by storm.
So we had to do defunct Canadian stores to be fashionable. And surprisingly, it caught on. For whatever reason.
It's dope, that's why. Because people love nostalgia.
Of course.
I always tell people, I even tell my daughter, you need more memories, baby. You need more memories other than your fucking iPad.
Oh,
because
dude.
When you're on your deathbed, all you're left with is your memories. Yeah. And that's probably why, not to get all morbid, but that's probably why dementia is so shitty, because you have no fucking memories left.
Yeah.
You know, that's... But then I had a friend whose father was passing away from that, and I told him, you need to play him music. Mm-hmm. Play him old music. And then a lot of people's memories come back from the music because your brain triggers it. And even if you don't think they have a memory, you play it, and they'll be like, oh, they start singing along.
Anything to, you know, the brain is such a,
It's very weird.
Undiscovered country. But it's like any little thing that could trigger something to get you back to a place, like music, of course.
Music, you know? And scent would be the two things that trigger the brain to bring you to a particular place.
Yeah, you know Ruben, sure. My friend Ruben.
Yeah.
hold on, there's a fucking, my ride's coming, hold on. Eddie, there's an Uber. Ice agent flying down for you.
You're flying Uber.
Fluber.
Badoopoop.
Yes. So Ruben was mentioning to me a long time, his parents both passed away in the 90s, and they died in a car accident. Horrible. The long story short is that one of his sister's ex-boyfriends, when they broke up, got really mad and took all of her photos and threw them and burnt them.
Oh, wow.
So he has no fucking photographic memories of his parents anymore.
Oh, my God.
Because his sister had all of them. And so every now and then he'll find, like, he'll get one out of somewhere, and he'll be like, really, imagine what that's like. You have no, like.
Of course, yeah, I can imagine, man.
So we're on the road
one
time, and he was talking about how his dad used to buy that really cheap cologne, Jean Nate.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Jean Nate? You get it at Kmart and shit. And he couldn't find it anywhere. Eddie found it online for us, and he ordered it for me, and I gave it to him as a Christmas gift. But I packaged it in such a way that I said, oh, first gift was a box of tissues.
Uh-huh.
He goes, what the fuck is this? I go, open the next one. You're going to need the tissues.
Right.
Oh, my
and
God.
And he starts, I started crying.
Of course.
I was like, oh, it's great.
Of course. That scent would bring him right back to his parents, you know?
Yeah, there's all the... there was a story, not a story, this really happened to me about maybe 13 or 14 years ago. We got an email from this family in Toronto saying that their son... had a golfing accident. His son's diabetic and he was like 17, and one of his friends, he was very diabetic, so they were on the course and he had to stop by a tree to shoot up some insulin, and his friend hit the fucking ball. The ball ricocheted off the tree and hit the kid in the head. Kid took a couple of steps and knocked out, passed out. He was in a coma for like a month. Kid comes out of the coma, he's got full amnesia, doesn't remember his name, doesn't remember anything. So they're rehabbing him for the next 6 months. He's in the hospital for first three, then he comes out, and his friends are coming over. They're reintroducing themselves and his family, and he's he's trying to remember them, but he's not. Nothing's clicking. And his friend comes over and goes, hey, you want to watch some TV? He goes, yeah, sure, whatever. And they remembered that his favorite special was one of my stand-up specials. So this kid has no memory. They put on my stand-up special, and all of a sudden the kid remembers my entire act.
Stop playing.
So his family sends me this message. They're like, thank you. You don't understand what you've done. And I'm like, wow, that's so wild. It brought his memory back.
I was just about to ask. That and triggered then, everything.
So when I flew to Toronto, I went to go meet with the kid. I went to his house.
Absolutely.
The kid's name was Joe. And I was cracking jokes with him and stuff. I was like, do you still have me? He goes, yeah, I still, sometimes I go in the kitchen. I don't remember what I went there for. I go, well, that's everybody, I think.
Right.
I said, I don't think that's amnesia. I think that's just everybody. And I go, you ever jerking off and then forget what you're doing? What is this? Get out of my hand. You know, just like. I really want to know how the kid's doing. Joe, if you're ever watching this, let me know how you're doing, buddy. Yeah.
Wow.
If you remember to call me.
That's so.
Dude, so it's been 13 or 14 years. Oh, I hope the kid's okay.
You helped him. You helped him jog his memory.
Well, I didn't. I mean, the special did. And it was just wild to get to meet his family and, you know, and brought him to a show and everything. It was nice. Sometimes you don't realize what you're doing in this world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a famous story about Mel Blanc. He was driving like on Mulholland, I think, back in, gosh, maybe the 60s, and his car flew off like one of like the guardrails. Probably really? There was no guardrail back then. And he was in a coma.
Really?
And he was out for like a little bit. And apparently what brought him back was like the cartoons. Like he wasn't responding as Mel, but responding almost in character as Bugs and others.
Wow.
And it's kind of weird because when they recorded the Flintstones,
he was Barney Rubble and he was doing this voice and they wanted him to do kind of like an Art Carney.
Yeah, I remember Barney changed voices at one point.
Yeah. Sure. And it's because when he came back out of the coma, he didn't, I guess, kind of recall what he was doing. And then he started doing this voice.
I preferred it that way.
Yeah, same here.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's strange because if you look at the Flintstones, it was kind of like a takeoff on the Honeymooners.
Yes,
and
it was absolutely.
Almost kind of like an Art Carney kind of
absolutely.
like send-off.
Oh, yeah, but again, Freddy Boy.
Yeah, again, odd things happen when you're with your memory and your brain and what
brings you out
of it.
I'm surprised they never used Mel Blanc on the Match Game, you know, like... This guy voiced so many cartoons.
Right,
every
right.
time he tried to do it, he would draw Mel Blanc.
Yeah.
Yeah, worse.
I mean, with a name like that.
Yeah, worse.
Jeez.
He really is. And he loves it.
Yes.
Dude, he's got a million more, I know.
Stick with me, kid. I got more.
Oh, man.
What's the one voice you hate doing?
Oh, man.
Not hate, but like your least
liked voice.
Least favorite to do because it's like, for whatever reason, it's taxing or whatever. That doesn't mean you don't like the voice. It just means,
right.
you know.
Right.
I'm whatever.
Or you're tired of doing.
As long as the checklers. I will never get tired of doing voices for sure because that is what keeps me alive.
What about your kid? Does he have a favorite of yours?
He pimps me out. When we
Absolutely.
Go to the, he's five, my son. When we
nice.
Go to the playground, he's like, hey, how's it going? I'm Riker, I'm five. My dad's Bugs Bunny. Like, immediately.
Hilarious. Nice.
Immediately. And then he's like, do the voice, do the voice. And then I'm like, what's up, Doc? And he's like, okay, go back to the car.
Yeah. I'll call you when I need you.
That's great, because my children could care less who I am.
No, that I know.
They don't even want to hear it. They're like, come on, Dad, enough.
Street cred for life.
So
I mean, they got
to
that.
To have that child that appreciates, that's great.
He's don't know. I think he's going to be in animation for sure. You could just tell, like.
Is he drawing?
He's drawing all day.
I can't draw worth a shit.
Really? You should have brought out a notepad. I would have taught you how to draw bugs. I could do a tutorial.
Oh, my daughter could have used that.
Really? Anytime.
I'm terrible. Oh, man.
I'll bring my kid over.
Michael J. Fox draws a straighter line than I do.
What? No chill.
None. There we go.
It's like, I forgot there's tons of cameras and microphones. No.
You should want to dip that ash first there. You're sliding ash.
Oh, okay. You tell me now.
Just dab the ash first. I mean.
Yeah, I'm canoeing.
Look, I know you got cancer, but that doesn't mean you got a fucking.
Yo, he's the worst, by the way. I mean, for those that didn't know. Because he was like, Kang, you can do it, man. He said, come on. Yes, you can, sir.
Yeah.
I was like, really, Russ? Really? Yes, you can, sir.
Well, if that's not a friend, I don't know what is.
Hey, fellas, let me ask you something. Do you aim to please in the bedroom? Because if you don't, you really should. This is a sad fact. Women are 4 times more likely than men to say sex is not at all pleasurable in the past year. And that's just not acceptable. But luckily, Dame Products is here to change all that. Dame Products is a women-founded company making toys for sex that close the pleasure gap, developed and tested by real people with actual vulvas in Dame Labs. They're engineered to bring your solo and coupled play to new heights. So basically, they're making the world a happier place, one vagina at a time. If you want to try a Dame vibrator that's especially great for couples, I'd recommend the Eva Couples Vibrator, which delivers clitoral stimulation during penetrative sex. Its flexible wings tuck under the labia for a nice snug fit. You know, when you're playing with your labia, ladies, you just think, what would fit in here? Never mind all that. Your hands are now free for intimacy in all kinds of positions. And better yet, you can make sure she's enjoying all positions. Their vibrators and accessories are made with medical-grade silicone, smart design principles, and lots of love, earning glowing press from the New York Times, W Magazine, and many more. Dame has so many incredible products that add pleasure to your lady's life, so go check out the selection. Go to dameproducts.com/Peters today for 15% off site-wide. Again, go to dameproducts.com/Peters today for 15% off site-wide.
You still got it? You still fighting it?
I got it. Oh, no. Yeah, I'm still fighting it, man.
How's it going?
Yes. It's going. I mean, I did 3 out of 4 rounds of chemo.
And your hair stayed.
That's
incredible.
What? That was one of the first questions I asked.
Mine's falling out without cancer.
I mean, you should get cancer.
I know. Well, I should. then I have an excuse.
Sorry, this guys, portion cancer, of the podcast, you know, brought to you by...
No, so I was diagnosed with colon cancer
earlier this
month. Earlier this year, I said.
This year. He was at my house when we noticed he wasn't looking so good.
I wasn't well. And I went back for the checkup. And we had the conversation. We were talking about, you know, certain signs of this.
Yeah, and I had some of those signs.
You had some of those signs, yeah.
And so, it turns out I was okay.
Yeah, so, you know, when I was diagnosed, I called Russ immediately. Like, bruh, you might want to go get yourself checked right now. Those signs we were talking about.
Yeah, I got spit roasted, though.
Huh?
I got spit roasted. They did the bottom and the top on me. I even told the doctor to put an apple in my mouth.
But I mean, and this is even years after years of annual checkups. I don't know if you know this.
No, I wasn't that guy. I was going to say. Both of us were not.
When you have a Filipino mom, like mine.
She a nurse?
She, no, not a nurse, but she might as well be. My dad is at Scarborough General Monday, Wednesday, Friday for dialysis. So in my family...
Taking it or giving it?
Taking it.
Oh, wow.
And it's one of those things where every time I talk to my mom, and I, you know, not to intrude on your story, it's like...
No, go
on. Did you go to the doctor? Did you get checked? Did
you
do the thing?
Have you checked your kidneys?
Did you pay your taxes and did you check your kidneys? Yeah.
Wow. In America, like, they don't play, they'll throw you in jail.
So, and I am like the worst when it comes to that. Almost any time I've ever been to a doctor, it's only because I go back for Christmas in Canada for a checkup. But
for
so
free.
Now you're going.
Yeah. Well, look, my situation was, you know, we self-diagnose
okay.
ourselves.
Of course.
You know, before
of course.
We go to the doctor, you know, because what the sign that that Russ and I were talking about is when you use the bathroom and you wipe and you'd see blood.
Sure.
And so the self-diagnosing is, you know, that burrito, you know, those spices.
Oh, yeah.
Could have been that. My hemorrhoids are acting.
Hemorrhoids, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you know, maybe I pushed a little too hard. While
yeah.
I was, you know, you come up with all these, you know, reasons. And some of those reasons are true. It's possible, you know.
Yeah.
But
And you're young.
Yeah.
I'm young. You know. You don't have to worry about that
right.
stuff.
You also, no, I finally did. After all of that, of course, it's like, okay, I think it's time to make that happen. And it was definitely an episode that I went through that I said, okay, stop playing. Go get yourself checked. And what that was is I'm in the privacy of my own, you know, room and I had to pass gas. And so I let it out. And it came out with substance. And I said, yo.
Did you shart?
That's what I said to myself. I'm like, did I just shart? So I ran to the bathroom.
Hope
to go
you weren't
check
wearing
this
the white
out.
Pants.
And hilarious. And it was a bloody mucus.
Oh, wow.
You know, it looked like you got punched in the nose and blew your nose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I said, okay, stop playing. Go to the doctor and see what this is. No pain. I wasn't, you know, ill or anything. I didn't feel anything that led to any of this. When I saw that is when I, you know, went to get myself checked.
Thank God you did.
Yeah. And when they checked me, they said, you know, the doctor, female doctor said, she's been doing this for 30 years and we will get the official results at the end of the week. But I can tell you right now, it's cancer. And I was like, get out of here. Like, wait for the result. I'm
not
hearing
this.
Huh?
Was it aggressive?
It was stage 3.
Damn, son.
Yeah, stage 3. So they removed the tumor. What they said is out of 13 lymph nodes, I believe I said that correctly.
Lymph nodes.
One penetrated the colon wall, and they have no idea where it is, and it may manifest itself into another form of cancer in, you know, 4 or 5 years. And so they're putting me through chemo as a precautionary, right?
Sure.
To catch it wherever it is before it becomes something else.
You feel sick after?
Chemo makes you sick, bro.
Like
my manager, who passed away from chemo many years ago,
from chemo,
said to me, from cancer many years ago, said to me, I was fine until they started curing me.
Yeah.
It's wow. the chemo. Chemo is the killer.
Because it makes you feel.
Chemo is the killer, man. Like I said, I felt no pain. I wasn't sick, you know, with this. It wasn't until they removed it and they're treating me for it. Now I'm sick. I'm like, yo, I was fine.
Right.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, it was crazy. So I did 3 rounds, 3 out of 4. And I was shooting a movie about 2 months ago. And I was a trooper during, you know, when the director said action, I did my thing. When he said cut, I ran to the corner and was laying on the couch.
My God.
I couldn't do it. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And I had another big production coming up a month after that. And I said, there is no way I'm going to take this 4th round and be able to complete this project that I'm getting ready to do. So I paused.
Yeah.
And so I just completed that project. Month of August has been real busy for me. So I said, okay, I'll go back and finish that last round. What I inquired, you know, with the doctors about is, can you guys check me? I did 3 out of 4. Maybe you got what you were looking for and I don't have to do the 4th. And they said they're not doing any evaluation until after I finish the 4th.
So you got one left.
I got one more to go.
And that's pretty much standard then.
How long do you feel sick for?
Well, the regimen was I take the IV.
Mm-hmm.
And then I take pills for 2 weeks. 4 pills in the morning, 4 pills at night for 2 weeks. Chemo pills.
Right.
So I'm basically on chemo for 2 weeks.
Right.
And then I take a week off. And then I go back to the IV, and that begins round the following round. Mm-hmm. So I did that for three rounds. I was a trooper on the first and second. I said, oh, this is chemo. I got this. I mm-hmm. can do this. It wasn't until the third that I felt like I wanted to throw up, but nothing was coming up either end.
Just the heaving.
It just stayed right there.
Just that fucking sick feeling.
Yo, it was disgusting, man. And there were other, you know, things that I went through. For example, I couldn't touch anything cold.
Oh, it's too cold?
They said there's, you know, something with your nerves. And you know, I would forget. I'll go in the refrigerator to get something, and I grab a can of whatever, and I'm screaming like a biatch.
Just your pinched nerves.
Because it feels like a million needles just went right into the palm of my hand.
Wow.
You know, so it's, you know, other symptoms, my skin complexion changed. I started to get darker. The palms of my hand.
Summer.
The palm, excuse me?
It's summertime.
No, trust me. It had nothing to do with that. In fact, they asked me to stay out of the sun.
Really? Yeah, that's what I hear.
You know.
Because you become very sensitive to everything.
You know, it's crazy, man. It's not, you know, I understand it's designed to age you or whatever, but, yo, that kills you. It's like you're dying to live. And again, I'm not out of the woods yet. So I have to go
When's
back for this.
Fourth round starting?
I'm going to start it next month.
September?
Yeah, I'm going to do it in September. And, you know, do the reevaluation and see where I stand and what the deal is. And, you know, I'm a trooper, so I'll you know, I want to live. Mm-hmm. But it's the dying part to live that's killing me.
Right.
And as prolific as that sound, it's so real. That's exactly.
Were the boys with you during all this?
They visited, yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
I mean, these motherfuckers.
You know, but no,
fucking
I had some of my, you know, closest friends with me through this. And and again, I was a trooper. So, you know, I became like this new look of what cancer, you know, looks like. And I didn't wear what was going on inside on the outside.
Well, except for your Instagram, you would post and...
Well, I was posting to let everyone know.
I was like, this motherfucker is depressing me on his Instagram. I'm like, Jesus.
You know, so I'm going to share with everyone where it's
change
at.
Name to Cancer no. Kid. Jesus.
You become Cancer Kid. With a K?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, K with a K. It's cancer with a K, of course. I mean, not an idiot, you know.
You got... But you become the ambassador and make people aware. I know a voiceover artist in our field, Rob Paulsen, had like throat cancer. Never smoked a cigar or cigarette in his life.
How do you get that from
not
doing any? Wow!
But I remember not hearing from him or not seeing him after a while. But he started the therapy, and then of course, when you see him, he was just like half his size, and he was already a small guy.
Yeah, I was losing a lot of weight as well.
Yeah, you did get very frail. Looking,
so it's
I'm
amazing.
Glad you've gained it back.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're
about
tough,
to lose
man.
It again. I'm about to lose it again because I'm about to go back in and do this other round. So,
but yeah, he had throat cancer of all the things. A voiceover artist that
yeah,
never.
It's
smoked.
Almost like the one like DOC, the rapper DOC. Remember?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All
but that was
shit.
But that was an accident, though.
Of all the things you could lose,
right?
The one thing that you make
right.
your money from.
Yeah, man. Right, right.
It's like a runner losing a foot. You're like, what the
right.
fuck is this?
Right, I'm done.
Yeah,
yeah. I could have lost an elbow. No, I had to lose a fucking foot.
Yeah. So he was like not eating and having the shakes, but he is. Back on stage performing, you know.
Oh, his voice is back and everything.
Yeah, he's Yakko Warner on Animaniacs and
nice.
Pinky from Pinky and the Brain.
Nice.
Those mice. Yeah. Yeah. Rob Paulsen.
I'm a fan.
He's a legend. But yeah, he has survived much like yourself and will continue to thrive. So
this is a pretty depressing way to end this one. I'll tell
you
that. Fucking Kangol Kid. Jesus.
End of our cigars.
Whatever.
Kangol Kid shows up.
I'm here.
Yeah, the that's all, folks. Yeah, that's how the only way you can end
at your
it,
funeral, right? We'll say that.
Well, no. Oh my
you're
God.
The worst, bro.
Wait, his or mine? I don't know who you're looking
his.
At. Okay.
Abby, that's all, folks. Hey, the rabbit kicked the bucket.
The rabbit kicked the bucket.
The bucket kicked the rabbit.
See, Looney Tunes, man, it always brings it back to a happy, lighter place. And
did they keep the same song?
Oh yeah,
But I mean, did they update it? Because I like the old sound, the tinny kind of.
They, like, if you watch Looney Tunes cartoons on HBO Max, ours is a complete throwback to like the early days of Looney Tunes, minus the racism. So, you know.
I mean, the racism's what made it good.
Yo, I was just talking about Looney Tunes earlier, man. They canceled Pepe Le Pew, bro.
That is correct, because, you know, he took no for no answer. So, yeah. The lawyers are outside. Yeah.
It's true, though. Pepe Le Pew was kind of creepy, though.
Here's the thing about Pepe that everyone forgets.
It's a cartoon!
Well, no. I mean, it's a cartoon, but the whole bit, at the first 2 minutes of every Pepe cartoon, he is a skunk that walks by flowers, that, and then the flowers drop dead because his ass smells. And right. No one wants to be hugged by a skunk. And then he gets a little handsy, but people often forget when he gets covered in paint and that white stripe goes away, or he gets doused with perfume, the cat becomes the aggressor and he becomes the aggressor.
Right, I forgot that. You're so right.
People, and then the cat would walk underneath the white paint and get the stripe on her back.
Right, right. So people forget, like, there was a balance to it all. And again, unfortunately for the ladies back in the day, that's what the behavior was accepted when a guy threw himself at you. That was the style and that was the thing. You know, like almost every black and white film, there's a guy holding a lady, you know.
And calling them dames.
That was the thing.
Wasn't he a dame?
But this is what I can agree and attest to for today. If you're going to change it, you can. He's a fictional character.
Yeah. Right.
And you look at a character like Harlequin that has a character for a preschool audience, a preteen audience, a teen audience, and an Adult Swim animated audience.
Is that Harley Quinn? Or
Harley Quinn. Like the Warner Brothers DC character,
right.
And a rated R movie. So if you took a character like Pepe Le Pew, you could go cross-platform, and if you wanted to address it in an adult arena,
right.
You could.
Right, right.
So, you know, that's the only thing I'll
they
say about
him
Pepe.
Down, bro. Come on.
LeBron would have that's part of it.
No French. There would be no French.
Part of my childhood.
Yeah.
Tiptoe by the window through the tulips.
Yeah.
The tulips. Yeah. Let's not talk about that.
Yeah, let's not. That's how he got
killed. Pepe Le Pew was always literally chasing pussy.
Literally chasing cat.
He never found a female skunk. That was the weird part.
Yeah. Mm-mm. That's true. If you're just joining us, it's Kangol Kid and Ken Jeong with Russell Peters. In case I get canceled. So
Ken Jeong Kid. And for the people at Warner Brothers and all the people that hire Eric Bauza, he has nothing to do with what we're bringing up here. This is all my idea.
It's fine.
So cancel me. Don't cancel
me. No. You just got on Velma. We got to keep you on that show.
That's fine. Right. I'm worried about your career. I'm not worried about mine. I'm an empath.
Oh, dude.
In a very weird way.
Yeah.
I'm the least empathetic empath you've met, but I'm an empath.
Well, you're Canadian, so.
That's what it is. He's Haitian, so.
I am.
Are you? You're not sticking around in Los Angeles, are you?
I'm leaving tomorrow morning.
Because we're doing a fundraiser for Haiti.
Oh, wow.
Me and Ruben on the 30th at the Laugh Factory. It's going to be me, George Lopez, Cedric the Entertainer, DL Hughley.
Wow.
And I could probably come back.
You should, because you're Haitian.
Yeah.
He's Haitian. It would be nice to have another Haitian on board, maybe if you down to spit a verse or two.
I actually, because of Wyclef, I wrote my verse of Roxanne Roxanne in Creole. Because he said to me...
You did tell me that.
Yeah, he said, if you are truly Haitian, sing Roxanne Roxanne in Creole right now. And I was stumped because I had never done that before. So I said, he's never catching me like that again. And I went home and rewrote
Just
it.
Kangol.
Yeah, he said, Kangol, Mr.
Monsieur Sophisticate.
Yeah, I forgot how I said this. M'dap mache mwen yu dam, so m'di le, alo, m'se, Kangol, an yu TFO, li di m'so, m'di so, m'se zi, m'di yo, oh, m'ka chante, m'ka da se, an yu sel show. Yeah, I did that. I went home and said, nah, he's never catching me like that again.
So the new voice of Pepe Le Pew should be...
Yeah, Kangol get me canceled, kid. Why don't you?
No, you could bring him. You could bring him back in a good way, man. Kangol Le Pew. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, trust
that,
me.
I think that name stinks.
Yeah. Especially when he sharts.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh my God. Oh Jesus Christ.
Wow.
this was a good episode. I think it turned out fine despite Kangol's morbid.
You know what? We were just so up on our Canadian selves that Kangol came back and brought it back down to earth. Yeah. And
he really Americaned this one up for us. We really made a negative, and
we were gonna give you a passport and everything. And no.
Darn.
We appreciate you and everything you've done. In your career and today, just today. I had no idea. Did you know that he was coming?
I didn't know. Oh, I forgot he was coming.
Okay.
and so did he. That's why he has four kids. But
wow.
Yeah, ejaculation.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And on that note.
Or on those nodes.
Oh my God.
I hate him.
I want to thank everybody for tuning into this episode of Culturally Canceled with myself, Russell Peters, my special guest, Eric Bowser, the man of a thousand voices, the new man of a thousand voices, and Kangol Kid, the man of a thousand diseases. Please.
Damn! Damn.
Brother, no one's safe on this podcast.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll see you when I see you.